The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
Earnings is going to kick off this week, a new catalyst. That'll start with the banks, and then we've got big tech a few weeks later. Investors will be watching cloud computing numbers very closely as a barometer of enterprise spend. And they'll also be watching a new battle in the cloud wars, one where access to the best AI models and tools is now key. Google has long been a pioneer in Gen AI, began developing the technology years ago, had the best talent, but it hasn't been as aggressive with that messaging as rivals like Microsoft and its partnership with OpenAI. On the consumer side, strategy remains uncertain. There were controversies surrounding its image generator and, of course, that innovator's dilemma we're talking a lot about facing its core search business. But on the enterprise side, Google can afford to go on the offense, and that is happening right now in the cloud. I sat down exclusively with Google Cloud CEO Thomas Kurian on just those issues. Take a listen. Thomas, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us after what's been an incredibly busy day, and obviously the event is still happening. Let's start from a very high level. The opening keynote that you did is called A New Way to Cloud. Break down what that means.
A new way to cloud is reflective of how we're bringing our AI-powered platform, Google Cloud and Google Workspace, to companies around the world to transform the way that they adopt technology, to transform their core business operations, and to change the way that they use, you know, the internet and their core systems. So that's essentially what we mean by the new way to cloud.
And a lot of that has to do with generative AI, right? How does that change what companies and enterprises want to use the cloud for?
I mean, companies are using generative AI, and there's 300 customers just in the next 2 days talking about the successes they're having using generative AI, all the way from startups building on our infrastructure to create their own AI models. You know, 90% of the AI unicorns and 60% of all AI startups run on our infrastructure, our AI systems, to enterprises from banks, BBVA, Deutsche Bank, WPP, retailers like Best Buy and Walmart that you heard about, and many other companies you heard from, Mercedes, Uber, and a variety of others, using our AI tools inside their applications and systems to change the nature of the product that they have, how they service customers better, and to streamline their company. And finally, the packaged AI capability that we're offering inside, for example, Google Workspace, which is transforming what Woolworths does, Bristol-Myers Squibb does, and then with our Google Cloud Platform, assisting people at Pfizer doing cybersecurity work, assisting developers at Wayfair write better code, assisting people at the many different agencies, Mayo Clinic, Fox, et cetera, to write better articles and do data analysis. So a variety of different things, all powered by AI, because our AI is an open platform. It allows them to get choice, and it allows them to integrate into their existing environments. And we are seeing a lot of customers who are brand new to Google Cloud coming, even though they might have been using another cloud, choosing us now because we offer these capabilities.
So 300 customers and partners are going to be at Google Cloud Next event. What was that number a year ago?
Well, there's 30,000 people here from over 100 countries. There are 300 customers and partners just talking about the actual success they're having using our generative AI. And so since that technology is less than a year old, you know that that's a huge bump up since last year.
Right. So it was essentially almost nothing a year ago, right? Because this is such a new platform, a new edge. You talk about choice, and that's something that the other hyperscalers talk about as well, particularly in Amazon. They say that they have access to all different kinds of foundational models and technologies. Why is that so important?
Well, we talk about being vertically optimized. And what we mean by that is you can optimize the stack, the efficiency of our chips and systems to make it cost efficient to run models at scale, the efficiency of the tools that we offer to allow people to connect their models with existing systems, and at the same time, building prepackaged capabilities so that you don't have to be an AI expert to use these things. So we vertically optimize, but we are open and offer choice, which means we're not a closed system. We're not trying to lock people into our tools and technology. We allow people to use it in exactly the way they want to. And they have the choice of models, they have the choice of tools, they have the choice of chips, they have the choice of many other elements. And so that's part of our success has been providing this open platform. At the same time, deeply integrating the pieces so that people get performance, scale, security, reliability.
How is that different than what other hyperscalers are offering?
Well, one of them's offering a closed system. They have one model, one provider of that model. They don't even own that model. The other one does not have any AI expertise, so they only offer third-party models. We blend both. We have our own models, and we have the expertise to build systems and integrate these models into our products so that people can use it. At the same time, we're not taking a closed proprietary point of view. When we say vertically optimized, we don't mean vertically integrated equals a lock-in like another provider.
So what's the opportunity? You said that you're bringing customers over from other cloud providers. Can you name some of those or give us some color around what you're seeing and why customers that may not have been with Google Cloud before are now coming over to you for your AI tools?
I mean, you've heard from so many of them today: Bristol Myers Squibb, Pfizer, Wells Fargo, WPP, Uber, the Mayo Clinic. We've got a huge number of customers here. Many were using other clouds for various things. Now they're considering Google and building applications on us because of our deep expertise in AI and the capability that our products offer. We're also monetizing AI in a variety of different ways. You know, for the startups and the people building foundational models, they get to use our infrastructure and pay us for the use of that infrastructure, just like the way they used to pay for classical computing. People who use our models pay us for the use of our models and our tools. And then people who are buying our packaged functionality, think of when we talk about Woolworths using Google Workspace, they're paying for it as a value add to those packaged products. And so every part of the stack is now we have solutions for people. And because of the high value of our solutions, people are, you know, willing to pay for it. Just as one practical example, 75% of people who generate an image in Google Slides actually using our AI tools actually then paste the image in and do a slide presentation with it. That's way higher than what other competitors are reporting.
So what you're saying is that as customers have more access, they're also paying for it. And I wonder, help me understand, is that replacing spend in other areas or at other cloud providers? Is that new spend from them?
It's new spend, and in many cases, it's doing something they could not do before. I'll give you an example. We process over a million calls for one customer every day using our customer service AI. And if you think of a human being answering those calls, they can do about 100 to 200 calls a day. That's a lot of people they would have to hire. Now, the reality is they wouldn't be able to staff such a large organization, and those calls are not being answered. So now that they're able to do that, using our customer service AI, they're able to solve a problem they couldn't do before. It's net new spend for us. It's giving their customers better customer experience, and that in turn will drive monetization for them.
Got it. I wonder if you can put the market opportunity into context. We talk often about how Google Cloud has been the number three for some time in terms of the hyperscalers. If you guys have the right generative AI tools, and that is what a lot of the businesses we talk to on a daily basis on CNBC are looking for, what's the opportunity in terms of Google's ability to catch up with rivals?
Well, you know, we were 29th or 30th as a software company selling to enterprises just 4 or 5 years ago. We're now the fourth largest enterprise software company in the world as a standalone division. We've grown our business 5 times in 5 years. And that has been because we've always met a need and a market opportunity by building the right products ahead of when it was needed. So when it mainstreamed on AI, we were 10 years ahead of everybody. And our success by customer adoption is going to open many doors for us. It's going to open new customers to us. It is going to allow us to sell more products to existing customers, and is also going to allow us to monetize our existing products with value-added features that provide higher value for people. So it really transforms it because we have an open platform, and because architecturally you can use it no matter what other cloud you might be using, it gives us opportunity to sell to everybody, not just to existing Google Cloud customers.
When you talk about having an open platform, are you talking about Gemini, which is the closed source model, and Gemma? How do they work together, and can customers take parts of each for what they need?
When we talk about an open platform, we're talking about you can use any model. And so we offer
Got
Anthropic, you can
it.
use Llama, you can use Gemma, you can use Gemini, you can use Mistral, you can use Cohere's model, your choice of models. But more importantly, if you build an application using any of these models, you can integrate it into existing environments. If you have an application running on another hyperscaler, if you've got a CRM application or an ERP application, or even an on-premise older application, but you want to complement those applications with AI, you can integrate us everywhere. And most importantly, AI always reasons on your data. Your data can sit anywhere, and we have the ability to access that data no matter where it sits. So every step, because of the open architecture that we have, it allows us to offer up AI capability to everybody.
As you said, Thomas, Google has been here from the very beginning. It has really pioneered the space. I know that seminal Transformers paper was written by Google employees, but there's been sort of this narrative on Wall Street among investors and in media that Google has sort of been behind and had to play catch up in the AI race. What are they getting wrong?
I think our success with customers, every customer who chose us could have chosen somebody else. Our success in the end, we're focused on playing the game. We're focused on winning on the field. We're focused on providing the best products. We're focused on providing the best tools to complement these products. We're focused on giving people choice. And that success in the end is what we focus on. You know, Wall Street will come along once they see our results.
And they have. I mean, I can't help but note that it was an all-time high for the Google stock today. Let's talk a little bit. You mentioned Anthropic, and part of this narrative comes from who you're partnering with, right? Who the firepower and the talent behind these models you're working with. Obviously, Google has had the talent in this race. But when it comes to Anthropic, and you made a mention of your rival who's working with a closed source model, Google was first to work with them, and then Amazon came in with a big investment. And can you explain to our audience how that works? Why you guys didn't lock up Anthropic, for example, in the same way that Microsoft sort of locked up OpenAI, or did it, and how that relationship works?
So Anthropic started with us, and they are still a very close customer and partner of ours. They train their models, serve their models. We've integrated that into our AI platform, something we call Vertex. We're actually giving, our technology along with Anthropic to many customers. In fact, we have meetings today with, along with the Anthropic team, with several customers to show people how they can use Claude, the Anthropic model, on top of our platform. So alongside Gemini, we do that too. We've never wanted to say, if you want to serve a model through us, you'd have to be owned by us, or you'd be tethered to us. And so we give model providers, whether they're open source companies like Mistral or Llama 2 from Facebook or Meta, we give them choice of where they want to run their models. And if we do an exceptional job, we'll get more customers using our platform along with their models.
Got it. Let's talk a little bit about Google's chip ambitions. You guys announced Axion today. You've been developing TPUs. Tell me what the ambition is here.
Well, we want to provide the world's most cost-efficient training and serving infrastructure. And having been working on AI since 2012, 2013, our first work with AI started years ago, but working on AI chips from 2012, 2013, we realized that there's a range of capability that you will need to make AI work very well. And so, for example, how you have a system for training is different than how you use it for what's called serving or inferencing, is different than what you do for something called embeddings. And so we provide a range. We actually have 13 different types of accelerators or systems, and we've offered them from us, from NVIDIA. You saw our announcement on Axion today. Mm-hmm. We're also building systems. Just saying I have a chip doesn't mean that AI will work very well. You have to build an integrated system that includes high-performance storage. Today, we have announced something that improves storage performance for AI applications by 10 times. You would have to have the processors. You need high bandwidth memory. You need compilers and software to optimize it. You saw our announcement today on our compiler frameworks. So every part, and because we've been doing it for so much longer, we had a 10-year head start on everybody else building AI systems. It allows us now to now offer that to everybody. That's part of the reason that 90% of the AI unicorns of the world run on our cloud.
Right. And so there's different kinds of compute power that's needed, right? You need GPUs for some of that. You can use CPUs for other less complicated if you're not building foundational models. And like you said earlier, you're doing both. You're serving some of the most promising generative AI startups, help build their models, but you're also building your own. The GPUs that are needed for those complicated processes, those are scarce. How do you ration that? How do you think about that balance between using them for what Google's trying to achieve and your startups are trying to achieve?
Part of the value of having a range of these is that we're not bottlenecked on a particular supply chain process. Hmm. Today, when you look at the manufacturing processes associated with GPUs, the reason they're bottlenecked is there's a bottleneck on a specific kind of manufacturing process called CoWoS. We do not depend on that for some of the chips that we're making. So we're able to have a lot more capability for our own needs and for those partners and model providers who want to train on our platform.
Got it. And the way that Google has developed and also released its generative AI products, there's always been a focus and a balance between being bold and being responsible. How do you think of that balance right now, particularly when the last sort of 18 months have shown us that these things need to be tested in the real world, and there's going to be issues that arise from that? How do you think about the speed at which you move to put out these products and balancing the responsibility of it as well?
Well, we built a strong core first. And think of getting to sports. We have a strong core, and then we're able to build, you know, play many sports as a result of it. So in our platform, we took time early to build safety controls, responsibility controls, privacy, data privacy, a variety of different control functions that are important for enterprises. They're then able to use these controls and optimize that for their own needs. For instance, if you're using us in customer service, you want to use it with your brand's voice. If you're using us in creating marketing content, you wanted to synthesize it with specific kinds of information that are important to you. Mm-hmm. And so because we put those controls in, and many people told us early on, you're going slower, it allows us to get customers to trust us. And the success we're having with customers is because they trusted that we have those controls. And as the technology evolves, we'll continue to add in new types of controls to put them in control. And the fact that we started with the premise of choice, experience, and integration allows them to trust us. And our success is because we've done the hard work for them.
On the consumer side, though, Thomas, there's been some stumbles, and not just Google by any means, ChatGPT, as well as a few others, there's been issues with misinformation, with hallucinations, and even with the latest Gemini sort of rebrand, there was issues with the image generator. How does that impact the whole story and the whole messaging that you're trying to get across is that Gemini is going to be sort of the overarching umbrella where all of your generative AI tools sit?
First of all, you know, when we make a mistake, we take responsibility for it. The consumer app had a software issue with it. We accepted that was our responsibility. We are working on fixing it, as you know.
Yeah.
Second, zero of our enterprise customers ran into the issue that was reported on the consumer side because of the controls that we have in the platform that lets them be in charge. Third, it's not just once an issue occurs, we recognize it. We're also inventing new technology at the same time. So, for example, when people were worried about hallucination, we introduced today something called grounding with Google search, which allows you to take the amazing real-world knowledge that Google has as the trusted information source for people and allowing you, when you get an answer from a model, to compare it with the knowledge of the internet that Google provides so that you can understand and compare and say, yeah, that answer makes sense or that answer doesn't make sense, down to getting citations. Where did that model get the answer? So we're doing all three elements: accepting responsibility, improving quality. We didn't have any customers experience it on the enterprise side. And then constantly inventing new technology to address some of the core issues that people see.
Got it. My last question for you, Thomas, is what have we yet to see the killer use case? I mean, so far, generative AI has been used for suggestions, summaries, customer service chatbots is one that you brought up. Is there a bigger use case that scales automation even more that is going to change the way enterprises do business?
Well, we're working on our long-term view is that as generative AI becomes strong and capable and improves factuality, improves the way the skills it has to do planning and reasoning, you won't need co-pilots. Everybody wants a pilot. The reason you have a co-pilot is you don't trust it. And so you're constantly looking over its shoulder. And nobody wants to do that. The only reason they're doing that is because that is where things are today. Our long-term view is if you have really capable models, you can do end-to-end process automation. You can really transform the nature of how people interact with computer systems and people interact with applications and people interact with the internet itself.
That is fascinating. Thomas, thank you so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch body plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.